The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. Five open lines. All right. Now, let's see. Whew. Boy, last minute stuff to do at the last minute. That's what I call it, last minute stuff. All right, now we got nobody waiting right now, so what I think I might do is do what I did last week, and people liked it, they enjoyed it, and thinking about reading some hate mail. I enjoy hate mail. I did it years ago, and so anyway, I just enjoy it. I get a kick out of it. I like it when people insult me. I do. I'm laughing just thinking about it, because I find the insult to be rather benign, and, you know, not very good, but... Anyway, let's see. I think I'm going to do that while I'm waiting for a caller or two to come in, because I like that. Let's see. Here's good. This is a good one. All right. Good luck taking the mark of the beast, thanks to Gates, Fauci, etc., in order to take this trip. Oh, that was the old vaccine one. And we're not doing that one, so let's go on to the next one. We never, capital never, hear you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All you do is promote a political agenda. I'm tired of telling you this truth. You talk about the leftist and their agenda as if it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. No, that's not true. It's, you know, it's just, it's not a very good one. Let's see if it gets another one. Where is the gospel of Jesus Christ? No one should support this abortion of a ministry. So that's what someone said about CARB. That's pretty good. That's I've never heard that kind of insult before. I got a kick out of it. Let's see. Your smugness, your pride, your sense of superiority, your waste of the time of the Lord has given you. And that was, I wrote back and I said, wow, that was interesting. From a previous email, I'm praying for you, Mr. Slick, as I'm praying for the lost who stumble across this site. If you are an example of Christ's love, who'd want to be like you? It is people like you who are responsible for the decline of faith among our young. You wreak hate, and I discern evil. Satan himself is governing your website, and you you are a willing puppet. May God have mercy on your soul. Do not, do not use one word of this on the radio. Okay. I think I read some of these. Where's this is supposed to be new ones here. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, man, I love stuff like this. I do. I get a kick out of it. It really amazes me, Matt, that you try to denounce the Catholic Church, as I do, because it's false, that they're not Christians. I say if you don't believe in if you believe in official Roman Catholic theology, you're not a Christian. Anyway, he goes on. Chances are you will see Satan. Yes, you, Matt. Victor and I tried debating you on Pal Talk. Okay. To no avail. You deny that baptism is needed for salvation. That's correct. And other stupid comments you make. Matt, you and your multi-million dollar corporation is just that. Wow. I have never had CARM be called a multi-million dollar corporation. That would be nice if it was true. I'd like it. Then I could pay Charlie what he's worth, you know, $5 or $6 a month. You know, it would be, he's laughing. So multi-million dollar corporation. Says, you make a lot of money preaching a different gospel. Wow, I do. I didn't know that. I do have to admit, we don't have many that will come listen to you to a good Bible study. Okay. That's because people have blinders on. They only see what's in front of them. They see you with all your lies. Oh, man. You know, something's wrong with me. I enjoy this. They hear you twist scriptures and they fall for it. The only thing that is just here is that we have a chance to make heaven. You don't. What does this is what's interesting, because the guy complains that I knock Catholicism, and then he condemns me. A little hypocritical, don't you think? Yes. Let's go on. What does the Bible say about people like you? Revelation 22, 18, 19. Yeah, you know, being cast out and damned. Okay, so Matt, keep playing your game, and on Judgment Day, you'll be close to Satan. Heck, Satan may even let you stoke the fire. So Matt, it is worth all, is it worth all the money you make now to forsake heaven? Remember, Matt, you will die someday. Then you'll be judged. Or maybe God will send his son back before you die. Are you prepared? No, not written really well. So that's pretty good. That's not bad. I like that. Let me do one more, and then we'll get to the callers. Let's see. How about... whoa. Okay. Won't read that one. Let's see. Merry Christmas, and get out of Israel, you blood-drinking Christian vampires. Wow. Man, that's awesome. That is really a good one. Wow. Woo, that was a good one. I like that. All right, let's see. One more, because that was really short. This email is for the wise, in quotes, and ignorant Matt Slick. I believe, as Christians, he is wrongfully criticizing Catholics and judging them from facts that Mr. Slick does not know and isn't capable of knowing. Thank you very much. You would think the degree would have taught him something, but he stuck that... I can't say what he says there. I do not care if you don't take my words into consideration, but you do need to know that what y'all are doing is wrong, and what this organization is promoting is wrong, and I hope God has mercy on you for all for being the Christians y'all swear to be. By the way, I'm a Christian. I go to a Catholic church, a place to worship our one and only God. You make me sick and hurts to see the denominations of Christianity fighting against each other. Fight the other religions, not your own neighbor. Well, too bad. That was pretty good. But Roman Catholics are not Christians if they hold to official Catholic theology. That's it. That's my position. I will not back down on that because the Roman Catholic Church is false. And I do say that. Yeah, that's right. And why? Because it is. All right, I had a little bit of fun with that. Hate mail. Some of them are really good. That was okay. It wasn't too bad. All right, let's get to the callers. 877-207-2276. Ron from Ohio. Hey, Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt. Very nice to talk to you this evening.
Nice talking to you.
Those comments that you just read, mm-hmm. those people are judging you, and we're not to judge, so, you know, that's not right. So, anyway, okay, my question is, why do you label yourself a Calvinist, and where did the different denominations come from?
I don't like the term Calvinist, but it's just a simple way of saying that. Some people say I hold to Reformation theology. And then I have to explain what that is sometimes. Calvinism people know, and it's just a simple, short, quick way to say it. That's all. Okay? And
so where did the denominations come from?
Denominations come from people who see things differently in the adiaphora, in the non-essentials. And then what they do is they unite in groups that are different. Sometimes the separation is warranted, because there are times when people, let's just say, deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, or say that women can be pastors and elders, or things like that. And it's time to separate when they won't repent from their false teachings. And so sometimes you have these denominations that will separate on that reason. That's a good reason. But sometimes they separate for different reasons, and that's not good. And it's a shame. It's an embarrassment on the Protestant denominations because of it.
Okay. I call myself a believer in Jesus. I do not call myself a Christian because I feel that if you label people, that will breed division, like, a Baptist opposed to another denomination. They're gonna get division against each other. They're going to say, well, this is not right and that's right. So what I do is I like to call myself a believer in Jesus and God, and don't label myself as a Christian. Now, where in the Bible does it say that Jesus says we are to be called Christians?
it doesn't say Jesus said we're to be called Christians. But apparently you're an anti-labeler.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, he doesn't say that.
Exactly.
He also doesn't say...
I think...
Hold on. It also doesn't say that we are not supposed to drive cars either. But it does say in Acts 11:26, it says, and when he had found them, he brought them to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And then Paul says...
Yeah, and by who? Who called them Christians? Who was the one that called them Christians? Were they Greeks that were calling them Christians? Were they?
That's a good question. They were first called Christians. Okay. And then in Acts 26:28, it says, Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time, you'll persuade me to become a Christian. Okay. So
now,
are you saying it's wrong to be called a Christian? Because Peter says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name, 1 Peter 4:16. So is it okay to be called a Christian?
Okay, so Peter accepted the fact that they were being, you know, labeled as Christians.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
So, okay. All right. Okay. So are you familiar with the pride of knowledge of the gospel being just as bad as, like, a pride of life?
The pride of the knowledge of the gospel?
So being proud of your... Yes. Pride, see... Okay, God doesn't like pride, okay? Any form of pride. So if you pride yourself in the knowledge of the gospel, of how you have done all this research and how you have built your education up according to the gospel, you are being proud.
Okay.
A person, not you, but people in general, okay?
Okay.
They're getting pride put into the... And God doesn't like pride, so I want to warn people out there.
Well, wait. This isn't your radio show, okay? You come on and start telling people what they ought to be warned against on my show, okay? You know, God's put me here for a reason, and I need to be careful of what you're saying and others are saying. Now, the thing is, it's okay to be called a Christian. And you're right, there's pride everywhere among all kinds of people. The funny thing about pride, like humility, it's hard to see it in yourself, but others can recognize it. So, nevertheless, so it's okay to be called a Christian. The word Christian occurs three times in the Bible. In the New Testament, Acts 11:26, 26, 28, and 1 Peter 4:16. So, it's okay to be called a Christian. And what do you call yourself, a believer? So is that not a labor?
Yes.
You're a believer. So it's a labor.
Yeah, I'm a believer. I believe and I have faith.
So do you affirm the doctrine? Do you affirm the doctrine of the Trinity?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're Trinitarian. Good.
I don't believe in the Catholic way. I don't think it's correct. But you know, you enlightened me on a couple of subjects. But that the pride of the gospel, pride of knowledge of the gospel, that's the one that I'm kind
of. Pride of the gospel.
Give me a good explanation of that one.
You mean should someone say or not say
It's okay to say that you've been educated on something. Attitude towards it.
That's right. We shouldn't do that. Bron. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. There's a break, okay? Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call on this interesting Friday after one of the longest eclipses in the past 600 years, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's see, three open lines, 877-207-2276. And I just want to remind you, we're moving over to Odyssey. It's going to take a while, but we're letting people know. And if you want to... If you want to join up over there, all you got to do is go to odyssey.com, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com, and sign up, and then do a search for CARM, C-A-R-M, and you can sign up, and we're going to be moving stuff over there, so just let you know. All right, let's get to Chuck from Burlington, North Carolina. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Matt, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. And, Matt, I want to say, first of all, I am proud of you in a godly way, of your dedication of your life to the Lord and of your knowledge. I can't try to argue with you too much. I'm not Reformed, but I love your show, and I love you as a brother. You're great.
Hey, appreciate that. That's nice. And,
yes, sir, and I mean it. I mean it. Okay. And I think God...
That's one person who likes me.
Proud in a godly way. Proud in a godly way. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, my question is, I was going into my handy-dandy Waffle House the other night, and, you know, an Asian man was coming out and held the door for me, and I gave him a gospel talk, and he gave me a tract, a high-quality business card. He says, well, it's Hebrew. We're Hebrews. I can't remember all of it, you know, but... And I lost the card. It was very well made. It was a little, you know, business card. And on the front, it had the eight. Had on the bottom, it had an H with a circle around it.
A what? Wait, I didn't quite get that. Repeat that. A what?
Okay, it had an H with a circle around it. And I can't remember all that was said. I'm just bringing this up if you know what it is. I'm curious. Okay, then above that was at the bottom of the card. Above that was like... two squares, like rounded off at the end, like they were woven ropes or something of different colors.
Okay.
On the back, it had a menorah, and it had some Hebrew words, like, you know, Hebrew letters, but it didn't have much that you could read in English, and I was just curious about it. If I ever find it again, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Maybe you haven't heard of, huh?
No, I haven't. Maybe some of our listeners have heard of that. Not me.
Right,
I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be worth
it. Can I ask one more question?
You just did. Have another one.
Another one? Okay. Okay, Matt. Matt.
Yes.
Okay. Faith is a gift of God.
Yes.
I know that by Acts 3:16. I cannot deny that. If I... say I believe Acts 3:16 is as true as John 3:16.
All right.
Okay. Now, Acts 14, and as you try to do, we persuade people to believe the gospel.
Yes.
Okay, now this may be a very sticky point. I do not want anybody to be confused about this who's listening, as God is my witness. Okay, so... is faith given to us, okay, you know, when the 2 Corinthians 4:3, maybe, when the light of the gospel is shown into our hearts, now is that faith?
Well,
or
there's
is the faith the ability to believe given to us?
Well, God grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29. Our believing is the work of God, John 6:28-29. He grants us repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25. Yet at the same time, we're called to give an answer to everyone who would ask, 1 Peter 3:15. We're called to preach that gospel, to go out there and make disciples of all nations, you know, Matthew 28:18-20. So we're called to do these things. So how does it work? How does it work that... that God ordains, God grants faith and things like that, and what we're called to do is try and persuade people. So does our effort at persuasion make any difference? And I have to say, yes, it makes a difference, but I don't know how it makes a difference. I can't connect the celestial dots from eternity. I just
praise
don't know.
Praise the Lord for godly mystery.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, and as I say to people...
bigger than us.
Yes, that's true. As I say to people, God predestines us, and he elects us and predestines us, because that's what the Bible teaches. It flat out teaches it. You go to Ephesians 1:4-5. But apparently, the more we preach, the more people apparently are predestined. So there's this interaction between us and God in time, and it's just beyond me. I just don't know. I've tried to solve it or think through
Neither
it a few times.
I know.
I can't do it. Yeah, I don't know. That's okay.
Spurgeon studied it for 5 years, they said, and gave up. And he said, if you try to figure it out, you'll lose your mind.
Yeah, and you know, the ways of God are so far...
it's good to try.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God gave us the Bible, and he made us curious, right?
Yes, and by trying to solve things like this, you learn about other things, even if we can't solve how it works.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And, you know, and I'm not trying to cut into you. I'm just talking with you. But okay, thanks a lot, man. I'm not reformed, but, you know, I'm fighting. Well, fighting. I'm, you know. Not
that's all right. You don't have to be reformed.
Way. You know, George Whitefield, who was reformed, you know, he was maybe, well, you know, in secular books, America will tell you he was, secular historians will say he was America's greatest evangelist. I know we have Billy Graham, but George Whitefield started it all.
Yes, and he, in the 1800s, would preach to sometimes 20,000 people at a time, no amplification.
Amen.
And how is he was able to do that, they don't know, but the stories are consistent, that he would preach and people could hear him very far away. He had this voice, apparently could carry, and probably there was locations. Amen. They were smart about where they would preach and teach and things like that. But, hey, and you're right, he was reformed, and he was a great evangelist.
He's beautiful. He's a wonderful, lovely Christian.
Yes.
You know, he's great.
Amen.
You know, and John, I want to say, years ago in the Navy, I read The Almost Christian by a Spanish man and a girl, and they became convicted, The Almost Christian by Wesley. So I ordered a couple copies, and I read it, but I have to say, and, you know, I loved John Wesley, Francis Asbury, where I lived in Jersey, like my aunt said, every place he stopped to water his horse, he sprang up a church, you know, he built a church, Methodist Church. But the end of the sermon, well, I just won't say it.
Okay.
Because I think it's best not to.
Okay.
But because he's a lovely man. He's sure a lot better Christian than I will ever dream to be, even in heaven.
Well,
I don't mean that at all. I haven't said nature at all. But he's fabulous.
Well, I appreciate
that. They're all good.
I appreciate that, Chuck. So good stuff. Keep listening and keep calling, okay?
Oh, of course, Matt. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
See you later.
All right, buddy. Okay, Matt. God bless. Hey, folks, four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Now we have five wide open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. The last caller, they hung up. I want to talk about tarot cards and hypnotism. I'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Hope you're all having a good Friday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. And, just to let you know that I'll be off for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, Thanksgiving stuff. So I'll be on live Monday, Tuesday. And that's it. And then back on the week after that. But I'll be off next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. All right. Let's get to James from North Carolina. James, welcome. Ooh, I was going to talk about the hypnotism and tarot cards. I'll talk to you about that after I'm done with you. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So what I was basically calling about is I'm not the most educated person, but I am a believer, and I generally hear a lot of talk on the essential doctrines versus non-essential doctrines. So, like, if someone were to ask you what the essential doctrines are to you, how would you describe that or answer that?
Well, I've written an article on this very thing, and I'll tell you, but also what they are. But I'll tell you also that I think you should go to the article and read, because I break up essentials into what's called primary and secondary essentials. The primary essentials are those essentials that the scriptures declare with a warning, etc. Jesus says, for example, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's John 8:24. So obviously that's an essential. You've got to believe he's the I am. And then for 1 Corinthians 15, 14 and 17, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. So there's another one, that the that Jesus rose from the dead. And they go on like this. There's a few like this. And if you go to CARM and you look up, let's see, I can do this right now, Doctrine Grid, or the Doctrine Table, I think it is. And what I've done is listed them out there, and you can check it out, but I'll go through some more. And so those two I mentioned are right there, but also salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And we find that in many places in Scripture, in Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, but in Galatians 5:1 through 4, it says in there that if anybody adds anything, you don't have salvation. You've been severed from Christ. And that's what goes on in Galatians chapter 5. So that's an essential, a primary, because that's a warning. And the let's see what else. He's God and man. Jesus, God and man. He rose from the dead. Salvation by grace. And the gospel is a death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Because if you have a different gospel, you're cursed. That's Galatians 1:8 and 9. If we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to what you preach to you, let him be accursed. So the gospel is a primary essential. There's only one God in all existence, in all place, in all time. Exodus 20, verse 3, Isaiah 43:10, and other verses where God says he'll visit judgment upon you for denying that he's the only true God. And then you've got to be born again. Without being born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's John 3, so 3 through 8. So these are what I call the primaries. The secondaries are essentials that are not stated as being essential. For example, the Trinity. Nothing in the Bible says that you have to believe in one God and three distinct simultaneous persons in order to be a Christian. Now, you should, because that's what the truth is, but it's an essential, but I call it a secondary because there's no statement addressed with it stating you have to affirm it, like there is with the other things. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary is also what I call a secondary essential. Nothing in the Bible says if you deny the virgin birth, you can't be a Christian, or your faith is in vain, or whatever it is, or you'll die in your sins. It doesn't say that, but it's difficult to justify the two natures of Christ without the virgin birth. And John 14:6, Jesus is the only way to God the Father. He clearly says that, but he doesn't say there's any punishment for not affirming that. He just says it as a fact, so I call it a secondary essential. So there are actual essentials, and I just break them up into those primary and secondary groupings. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I appreciate you breaking it down like that. I as far as the essentials go, I've always, you know, accepted that obviously that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the one and only way to heaven. I died on the cross, resurrected for our sins, things like that. So I was just kind of curious about how you break down the essentials. I've never heard the primary, secondary, but that's a really good breakdown. I appreciate the information. Yep. Thank you, and God bless.
All right, man. God bless. Okay. Yeah, folks, that's my division. That's what I've done. I don't know of anybody else who does it that way. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's just it's how I see it in Scripture. The primaries are those things that are stated specifically in Scripture that cannot be denied, and you must affirm. But the secondary essentials don't have that kind of a requirement to it. It's not stated as being essential, but they're derived out of the primaries. And that's why I do it that way. Okay, hope that is helpful. All right, why don't we get on the phones with, let's see, that would be Brian from Minnesota. Brian, welcome. Oh, I keep forgetting to do the tarot card thing. I'll do that next, hopefully. Okay, Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks. I just want to say thanks a lot for all that you've done to further the gospel and everything.
Well, praise God.
And with my question is about Calvinism, basically, like, the hardest thing for me to grasp is, like, let's say there's 1,000 people, God just randomly picks 5, and if you raise your kids, it doesn't matter how you raise your kids or anything, like, God just has to pick them, and for me, that's, I can't grasp that, like, it's too hard for me to grasp.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I can't grasp it, and I deny it. I deny that God randomly picks people. I don't believe that.
So then how does it work then?
That God work, he predestines and he picks according to his will. He has knowledge and reasons that we do not. There is no randomness with God. Randomness means there's no reason for it. It's just kind of random. And that would be a saying, Calvinists and those in Reformed theology never say that God is random. But he has his reasons. He works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. This means election, predestination. It means everything. And the Bible teaches that election and predestination. It teaches it. I mean, anybody who denies it is just denying Scripture. That's what the Bible says. So how does he do it? Well, we don't know. But it's not random because nothing with God is random.
Well, it can't be from anything that we do, right?
That's right. There's nothing good in us that would merit salvation. Would you agree?
I agree that we're all bad. Okay. Like, the way that I see it and the way that I got saved was I started reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. I was a skeptic. After 3 months, I had a full-blown revelation that all my problems in life were a result of not obeying God. All of them. Mm-hmm. And still to the day, it's true.
Mm-hmm. And so are you making doctrine, just curious, are you making doctrine out of experience or Scripture?
No, well, that's just how I got opened up to start reading and doing what the Word says.
Okay.
And then it became super duper real.
So do you think that God was working on you and calling you and speaking to you that way and stuff like that?
Possibly. Okay. I didn't come to the Lord till 33.
Okay. Well, just back to the original question. God is not random. He always has a reason for what he does and why he does what he does. He doesn't tell us what those reasons are. But he's the one in control. He's the one who's sovereign. We're not. It's never random. God just doesn't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It doesn't happen like that. Okay?
But then the gospel is somewhat hope God picks you. Because you can't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. But we can do something. Because if you're saved, you can pray and ask God to save others. And the prayers of a righteous man avail much with God, as James 5 talks about. We just don't know how it all works. We just don't know. And so, as I'm Reformed, and I believe in election predestination, and yet I evangelize as much as possible. People say, well, that's inconsistent. Well, they don't understand Reformed theology then, because it's not inconsistent with it. Paul the Apostle taught election and predestination. He said that God grants that we believe and grants repentance. He said this, and yet he was very evangelistic. And people don't put two and two together. And so they misrepresent some of the things of God in the Scriptures. Because a lot of people, what they want is just easy theology, easy stuff that just makes sense on a kindergarten level, first grade level. They don't want to get into the deeper things.
Do you think it's partially both? Like, there's Scriptures that say if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us.
Of course. That's what the Bible says, and it's true. Now, are we able to draw near? God draws it. Jesus says, you cannot come to me unless the Father draws you. John 6:44. Hey, you want to hold? We got a break, okay? Hold on. Hey, folks, two open lines, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Brian, are you still there? Brian, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. There you go. All right, so did that answer the question sufficiently?
Yeah, except, well, like, when you say God tells us if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. But mm-hmm. then you use another passage and are like, God has to do that. That's a little confusing. You know what I mean?
Well, Jesus says, "You cannot come to me unless the Father draws you." John 6:44 and John 6:65. He says, "You cannot come to Christ unless it's been granted to you from the Father." So he says, "Draw near to God." And who's he talking to? Because this is what's always important: is when he's speaking, you always have to know the context. And draw near to God, is, in Hebrews, it's used, and he's talking about those who are always already believers. And then he does this in Hebrews in more than one place. So he speaks there, and also it says in James, "Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." He's being generic. Just tell him, draw near to God. Go do that. It's a command. Just like God says, everyone everywhere should repent, Acts 17:30, because it's what you ought to do. You should do it, and so do it. That's the command. But God is the one who grants us those good things. And there, and this is where we get into the gray area. We just don't know how it works. How does God work in the drawing, in our actions, our wills, the knowledge of God, you know, prayers of believers for unbelievers? How does that work? We just don't know. And so what we do sometimes is just say, well, it says this, it says that. I believe them both. They're not contradictory, but that's just how it is, and we move forward. Okay?
Amen. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right. Okay. So hypnotism and tarot cards. Hypnotism may or may not be good depending on how it's done and what the purpose of it is. There are a lot of Christians who say don't do it because it's opening your mind up to the demonic stuff. I don't believe that's necessarily the case. I think that there are times when you can do that. I used to self-hypnotize when I was younger, when I would study, and I would just go into an altered state, kind of super in-depth, and I would study for hours like that. I can't do it anymore, but because I'm older. But you know, so what is that kind of altered state? And that's the question that needs to be discussed, etc. Tarot cards, stay away from them. They're bad. They're evil. No Christian should ever be mixed up with them. Tarot cards are a door to the occult. Stay away from them. All right, let's get to Paulette from Ohio. Paulette, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I had heard a couple times listening to the program that it's just curious. Jesus' birthday is not the 25th, Christmas Day.
That's correct.
And that was the first time I ever heard it.
Yeah.
Do you know when it is?
No. No, it's probably in the spring, I think. I've heard spring, I've heard April, I've heard September. Different scholars have proposed different things, looking into the Bible for hints about it. But I don't know the day. I just don't know. And I've never been able to discern it from Scripture. Okay.
Yeah, it was just like, what? And I never heard that before, and I'm thinking, well, who said it was the 25th to begin with then? You know,
well,
I don't know.
It was the Roman Catholic Church that adopted that day in order to turn a pagan holiday, December 25th, into a good day.
Okay.
That was the idea, because it was a winter solstice. And so Saturnalia, which is a pagan idea of worship, of celebration on the day when of the winter, when the day started getting longer, Saturnalia, which we get the word Saturday. Yeah, we get the day Saturday from that.
Okay.
So it's just all it was, and it was an attempt to sanctify something that was bad, and so it became December 25th is when we traditionally celebrate it. But we don't know exactly.
Okay, thank you. And I love your program. I listen to it every day as I go to work and come home. I'm like, I just think you're awesome. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, man, I love to hear that, because, you know,
yes,
my wife
is
not.
I just think you're
awesome.
I just pick up so many things that maybe I can't get ordinarily, you know.
Yeah. It's,
like a lot of the questions, the way you answer them, how you do things, I'm just thankful for you. Thank you so much.
Well, give God the glory. Praise God. You know, praise God.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, good.
All right. Well, you pretty much kind of answered my question, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
And have a thankful Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanksgiving.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Hey, Jose. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going. So what do you got, man? What do you got?
Hey. Yeah. Hey, I have a question. I have a question that you can help me out how to answer. I have a friend, by the way. He's a oneness Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. And that being said, he's a non-Trinitarian. So the question he asked me is it essential for a Christian to believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? And
I would say,
you know, of course, I'm a Trinitarian. I believe it's taught in Scripture. But anyway, so, you know, it's my best friend and whatnot. So how can I answer that question without hurting, you know, his feelings, the kind of way you want to call it. Well, but, you know, I don't want to have that argument with him. But how can I say in a nice way that he's in a heresy?
I don't know. There's a nice way. I mean, what's a nice way to make him feel really good about his heresy? So it's hard to say there's a nice way to do it. But as a men to men, we can say things, and so just tell him lovingly, patiently, as kindly as possible, the truth. He's in a non-Christian belief system, and he denies the true and living God because of his oneness, and that he requires baptism for salvation in the name of Jesus, and that you can lose your salvation and you got to keep it by being good. And so this is non-Christian theology, and he's denying the true and living God.
That's one of the things that he had. We've been conversating. He had addressed that issue that I need to get rebaptized because I was baptized in the wrong way.
No, he doesn't understand.
I don't buy into that.
No, he's in a cult.
So anyway. Now,
I have a lot of information on CARM, on oneness theology, on baptism issues, and the doctrine of the Trinity. I'll be in another debate on it on Tuesday night.
Okay.
Coming up next week. But
there's
a lot of truth in the doctrine of the Trinity where oneness just deny certain areas of Scripture. The Trinitarians don't deny the idea of God's oneness and the Father, the only true living God, as Scriptures say. You go to 1 Corinthians 8, 6 or John 17, 3 and things that they bring up. And I'll address those, but they don't address the other ones that I'll bring up. They ignore them. They dismiss them. And this is a problem because they are brainwashed in their cult system and denying the true living God. And one of the ramifications of this is who then is the person of Christ? Who is the person of Christ? Now, I'm going to give you a verse that you might want to look at and just remember and talk to him about. And this is John 6:38. John 6:38.
Okay.
Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So that's Jesus talking. But Jesus says he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of one who sent him. So who sent him from heaven?
Yeah, the Father, of course.
The Father sent him.
Right.
Well, he has to be there with him to be sent. Explain that. All right?
So in other words, they're following a false Jesus. They're not believed.
Well, on paper, they are. Because they're denying the true incarnation, and they kind of hint towards what's called Nestorianism. And they sometimes will say that the flesh of Jesus was praying to the spirit of Jesus out there in the,
of
the presence.
I heard that a lot.
And so that means there's a denial of the true incarnation and the hypostatic union. And so this is where it gets into problems. Because I can get more complicated talking about it, the nature of the two. The properties of both natures ascribed to the single person and how the attribution of both are perceived through the human and how then is the sacrifice of divine value. And so these are questions that that I like to address with oneness people. And they often don't understand how to deal with all of this. Okay.
Okay. All right, man. Well, anyways, thank you, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you.
You too, man. God bless. All right.
Thanks.
All right, let's get to the last caller, and that would be Tommy from Utah. Hey, Tommy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear. So what do you got, man?
Okay. It's a little noisy. I drive a truck for a living, and so it's a little hard to hear you. But I just called to comment about, you know, when you talked about the, I thought the whole idea of Christian hate mail to you is so ironic. It's not even, is it Christian to have hate mail?
Well, you mean the people who are the haters? Or for me to read hate mail?
I mean, yeah, because they send you hate mail, and it's like, okay, I wasn't saved till I was almost 56 years old, and I'm not a giant in knowledge, and I've only been, so it's been like 7 years since I've been saved. But God has gifted me with some things. Like, he gave me amazing, amazing men that discipled me. And he gave me insight to his word that, and understanding of his word that, his, the only explanation is that God's spirit is within me, and he tells me these things that I would not ever know with the amount of time I have in as a Christian.
Okay. And so, can I ask what church you go to?
Wasatch Cowboy Church in Hooper, Utah.
Okay.
What's that?
No, it's okay. Cowboy churches, for the most part, are pretty good. Yeah, when you say God tells you things and stuff, I also want to hear with this, out of the Word of God, that the Word of God is primary, and that this is what you're looking to primarily, the Word of God, for truth. Not, you know, anything
other than that. And I guess that's my whole, that's really my whole point, is that when people are telling you that they're heretical or whatever, aren't we to be like the Bereans and we're supposed to research it? We have a We have a responsibility ourselves to look through these things, to examine these things, and to have discernment and pray for discernment to make these things true. And then, I mean, to tell what is true and what's not true. And beyond that, I'm just studying in the Book of Acts right now, and there's just all this over. It's always stated over and over and over about the unity of the church and to love each other and to be. So I guess I really have a hard time understanding how people that are Christians 30, 40, 50 years and they treat other Christians the way they do.
Yeah, good question.
To me seems like so unchristian.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. That's right. That's right. Oh, but there's the music, so we got to get going. But I'm with you, buddy. Okay?
All right.
Have a good weekend,
Thank
man.
You.
All right. Hey, folks, there we are, out of time. There's the music. It's Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone. I hope that you'll be able to tune me in on Monday by God's grace. And remember, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm out doing Thanksgiving stuff. And we'll talk to you on Monday. God bless. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.